Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio files and MP3 files on there by subject matter. You'll also find a host of other Bible-related material, Bible videos, Bible PowerPoints, articles, things that can help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you but to have you see the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are looking at the subject of what saves us, one thing or many. Today, we want to begin by looking at James 1 and verse 21. James 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also to the Greek. And we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so man is saved by the word. Man is saved by the word because the word gives man the instructions in what he must do in order to follow those instructions in order to be saved. We pointed out last week that every conversion in Acts, all of them came in contact with the Word of God. All of them were taught and instructed in the Word of God. Let me give you a couple quick examples. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah chapter 53 as he went back home to Ethiopia in a eunuch, in a chariot. He went back in a chariot, and Philip came up and explained to him more accurately what he was reading. And it says in Acts 8:35, he began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus by using Isaiah 53. And so we see the word. We see in the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, in the middle of the night, they took him home and they expounded and taught him the word of God in Acts 16:32. So you see, the word is necessary in order to give man the instruction that he needs that he might follow in order to obtain salvation. So man is saved by the word of God. Well, he's also saved by the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. And with all unrighteousness, with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you continue reading that passage, you'll see that because they did not love the truth, that they were sent strong delusion, that they might believe a lie. But you see, the delusion and the lie can only take place because they did not love the truth. They did not want to follow the truth. And so one must have a deep, abiding love and respect for the truth. God's word is truth. And that word saves us by obedience to it. And so man is saved by the truth. But there's another one in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Hebrew writer wrote in verse number 9, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him." Obey him. John 14:15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us." Man is obedient. Man is obedient, and it's been that way, and it's true from the very beginning of time. So man needs to be obedient to the instructions and the commandments that God has given him in order to be saved. He must have an obedient faith. And then one other thing this morning, he is saved by the gospel. We read that in Romans 1:16. The gospel is God's power to save. But let us read one other passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at the first four verses of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, in which you also received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." But now notice in our text, that word which you have received, in which you are saved, if you hold fast to that word. Again, this is a life-saving message which we must take to the lost. In Matthew, in just before him going back to heaven and sending back to his Father, he brought the apostles together and he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why did every creature need to hear the gospel? Because the gospel was God's message to save the sinner who is alienated from God because of his sin. And so that gospel, the glad tidings about Jesus Christ, are absolutely necessary for men to hear in order to be saved. In order to be saved, they must know the gospel. And we're going to go ahead and add one more this morning because it really ties with all of these. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. "He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Come to the knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, we read, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We must have an understanding of God's will. Our knowledge of truth will save us. Our lack of knowledge of truth will cause us to be lost. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, the old prophet Hosea told God's people that his people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge can cause you to be lost. And so what have we looked at today? Today we have looked at five things that are really interwoven together. Man is saved by the word, James 1:21. He is saved by the truth, according to the words of Jesus himself in John 8:32. We're saved by obedient faith, according to the Hebrew writer in chapter 5 and verse 9, and the gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 verse 16, and man is declared to need to come into the knowledge of the truth in order to be saved, that's God's desire. And so what do we see here, ladies and gentlemen? We see that man must have a relationship with the Word of God. He can't be saved without having a relationship with the Word. He can't be saved without accepting the truth, all of the truth, not part of it, not the part that he agrees with, not the part that sounds good. He must love the truth. He must be obedient. He must have obedient faith. We must be a servant of righteousness, Romans 6:16-17. And we're saved by the gospel. That was the message that God gave to the apostles and sent them into all of the world who was lost and dying in sin. He sent them with the message of the cross through the gospel of Christ. And what is God's desire for man? That all men be saved. Well, how can all men be saved? By coming to the knowledge of the truth. By coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so again, we ask the question, which one of these do you want to leave out of the equation? Do we not need the word? Do we not need truth? Do we not need to be obedient? Do we not need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we not need to have a knowledge of the truth? Can we just be ignorant? Can we just plead ignorance on the day of judgment? Or do we have to have a knowledge of the truth? Which one of these is not necessary in order to receive salvation from our sin? Now, ladies and gentlemen, thus far in our three times together, we have looked at hope, grace, faith, mercy, baptism, the word, the truth, obedience, the gospel, and our knowledge of the truth. Now, in the beginning of this series, we asked the question, what saves one thing or many things? If you're in the listening audience and you think John 3:16 takes care of everything, that you believe on Jesus Christ, then you accept in our list faith. But then these other things that we have talked about, you think are unnecessary. You think hope is unnecessary then. You think grace is unnecessary. You think mercy is not needed. Obedient works are not needed. Baptism is not needed. The word's not needed. The truth not needed. Obedience is unnecessary. The gospel is unnecessary. And your knowledge of that truth is unnecessary. Now, when you take that there's only one thing that saves you, you make all these other things obsolete. I want to suggest to you that each and every one of these things play a role in bringing salvation to sinful men. All of these have equal billing, and all of them are equal in their need for the sinner to do in order to receive and obtain salvation and remission of sin. It never has taken one thing. It has taken many things. And we still have a few more on the list that we'll look at next week. But what about it, ladies and gentlemen? Which one of these things do you want to leave out of the equation and still believe that you can obtain salvation and freedom from your sin? Think about it. Seriously.